Welcome back to The Marketplace, of course, the show with everything that you need to know about free agency as we head towards NBL 25. And we've spoken a lot about Summer League, basically from the day that free agency kicked off. It is now on our doorstep. This is a very, very important piece of the puzzle as teams essentially put the last touches on their rosters ahead of the upcoming season. I'm Jack Heverin. To preview the entire thing, Pete Hooley joins us, of course, from NBL.com.au. And he's going to be on the ground in Las Vegas in just a few days' time. Hools, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, looking forward to it. Got my first taste of Summer League last year. And what a taste of it was then. Obviously, it was a different probably prospect than what we're going to get this year because the Wemby experience, it was incredible. The concourse was packed. But it is exciting for NBL teams, as you mentioned. There's a lot of NBL flavor going this year, both past, present, players as well as a lot of teams and coaches and GMs are going to be on the floor ready to try and put those pieces together, as you said.
We'll tell you who's attending and what they're looking for in just a few moments. So serious is Pete about going to America that we've kept ourselves away from each other today. Pete's quarantined so that he doesn't get sick between now and Friday when he takes off. But, Hools, you can see the dates on the screen right now. July 12 to 22. So it's a 10-day fiesta, essentially. A whole lot of basketball. Just kind of walk our fans through what the 10-day experience is like.
Yeah, it's full on. As you said, it's 10 days of nonstop hoops. And especially when you're going there to look at players and when teams are trying to figure out who they want to sign, a lot of those signings eventuate towards the back end of Summer League when players, whether they get told from whatever NBA team they're representing at Summer League, whether they have a chance for a roster spot, ideally, where it's a two-way spot, or whether they're thinking about getting a 10-day, all of those conversations happen probably in the first half of the week of Summer League, and then the rest happens after that, whether they start looking about playing overseas in the NBL, or if they're going to go to Europe, or even to the G League. But it's also the same with a lot of NBL flavor with the guys who are getting their first crack at Summer League and maybe fresh out of college. We potentially might not see them hit the floor until the last couple of games of Summer League, but again, that experience is still invaluable, and that's what it's all about, is just getting on the floor and showcasing what you can do, because there's still coaches around, there's still many people around towards the back end of the week to try and get your name, I guess, seen further by the NBA people, but also for the current coaches you could be representing.
How cutthroat is it?
It's full on, especially when you've got guys in certain teams who potentially have two-way opportunities available when it's all said and done. There's only so many roster spots for every player on the NBA. And the reason these players are at Summer League is their goal is to be an NBA player. So you go back and see history of players who really turn it on during the 10 days in Las Vegas. It sets them up for the future. Ian Clark's a perfect example. Ian Clark had an unbelievable Summer League experience when he went there, set him up for a run, eventually with a run with the Golden State Warriors to winning a title. So a lot can happen in 10 days. And again, if you don't play in the first game, but then get your number called in the second game, if you're not ready for that opportunity, then that's gone. And you go and get that opportunity back. So it's very cutthroat. And there's a lot of guys who like to go out there and put the ball in the basket. That's not how everybody succeeds in Summer League. And I'm interested to see how it plays out.
Heavy NBL flavor, as you mentioned, and Australian flavor as well. Not only current NBL players, and a couple we'll talk about shortly, but alumni, those who have been in the NBL in the past who are going to be a part of it. Big shout out as well to Mark Radford, Keegan Crawford, and also Luke Brennan, assistant coaches here in the NBL who are going to be in the coaching staff. So it's not just the players getting opportunity. Great learning environment for coaches.
Yeah, I think that's something we don't gloss over too much anymore, but it's something that's happening more frequently than it used to. And it's great to see. I mean, last year with the Spurs, Adam Ford was there, Fleur was there. And with Matty Nielsen, who was the head coach of the Summer League Spurs last year, he actually put them on the front row to be part of the coaching staff, which would have been an unbelievable experience. And I mentioned the Webb and Yama experience as well. But for the coaches to just learn, I guess, from everybody else around them. And speaking to Damian Cotter, the assistant coach for the Bulls on the huddle recently, he was saying it's not just, again, the coaching staff of the Bulls. When you bring in these guest coaches from around the world, the amount you can learn in a 10-day period and window to take back to your club is completely invaluable. And that's why I love to see the coaches going over there and catching up with them and seeing how they're enjoying it.
Let's dive into a couple of familiar names before we take a look at each team and what they are looking for and shopping for. Luke Travers is an interesting situation. There's an article up now at nbl.com.au where he talks about his desire to become a permanent member of the Cleveland Cavaliers roster. The article's a great one. You should jump online and take a look at it at the moment. Summer League's familiar to him. He's been there and done it before, but what's got to be different this time around for him?
Probably not much, to be honest. I think he was dealt probably a tough hand last year with Summer League. You know, I remember after the first game and we're having a chat with him, and he said how his goal was to get a two-way deal for the Cavs. And unfortunately, we didn't know at the time, but a couple hours earlier, the Cavs had filled their final two-way roster spot on day one of Summer League, which normally doesn't happen. Normally that happens later in the week once you've got to see a few players, or everyone has their names they're watching. There's no doubt about that. So he was kind of up against it and then went on to produce an unbelievable Summer League for a guy who's not a volume scorer on that level. He's come out and said he wants to be a role player in the NBA, and that's exactly where he's going to thrive. So I think he's just got to produce what he did for Melbourne United, what he did for the Cavs last year, and he'll be in really good stead. Out of everyone we have, alumni and current players going, he seems Travis more likely than not is the closest to that two-way deal. And it's the more things you hear from around, it's probably more of a when it happens, not if it happens. Because as I said, if they hadn't have filled that spot last year, he was more than deserving to have got it last year.
Great opportunity as well for Sam Frohling. Pete, he's going to be playing with the Indiana Pacers, and his numbers improve year in, year out here in the NBL. And we also forget how young he still is.
He's actually one I'm really excited to see how he goes on the NBA floor, because his skill set is very unique, especially to the Summer League type style of basketball, where they do have a lot of traditional bigs out there. They do have a lot of back to the basket bigs who like to back guys down and be fundamental. I mean, we've seen Zach Edey, the ninth pick for the Grizz. You talk about traditional big men. There's a lot of those floating around Summer League, whereas Sam Frohling wants to bring you out to the high post. He wants to put the ball in the basket, finish with both hands around the rim. I think he can have a lot of success in this environment, and I'm hoping he gets a lot of opportunity to do so. I think the fact that he's going over there means that he would have had those conversations with the Pacers, and they say, look, we're going to give you a chance to showcase your stuff, whether that's in the first game, whether that's in the third game, I'm not sure. But I think he's going to be better for the opportunity. And again, it's just well-deserved. As you said, he continues to get better year in, year out. Looking forward to that. And again, he's Johnny Furphy's there as well, the other Aussie, the second round pick, but the main pick for the draft for the Indiana Pacers. So looking forward to seeing how those two go together.
Josh Bannon gets a great chance too. He's going to play with the Clippers. You can see his numbers on screen right now for those who are watching. But I'm intrigued with Josh. One thing we know about him is he doesn't lack confidence. So he's going to go there and he's going to shoot his shot.
And again, guys like Josh Bannon is very similar to Luke Travers, right? Even back to when Jack White got a two-way deal with the Nuggets. These guys aren't volume scorers. They're not going to go in there trying to get up as many shots as they can when a lot of other players in the Summer League environment are trying to do that. They're strictly going out there to impact winning every single moment, whether that's hustling on the diving on loose balls, ripping down rebounds, defending at a high level, doing all those little intangible things to stand out as someone who affects winning. That's Josh Bannon. Again, that's Luke Travers. And that's what a lot of NBA coaches now have a lot of respect for on the international level is, well, we don't really need guys to come in and put up 25 points per game. We've got that, and the Clippers have plenty of those. We want someone who's going to get their nose dirty. We want someone who's not afraid of the moment, throw their weight around, but just someone we can have in that circle of trust. That's what Josh Bannon's proved already in a very early rookie campaign. And I think that if he can get the opportunity to do that, they'll love what they see.
All right, let's work our way through each team. We should put it out there that the Tasmania Jack Jumpers won't be attending Summer League. Their roster is full, so they have no need to be there. The Sydney Kings will also be there. Chris Pongrass, their general manager, will be in the house, but it will be pretty much a viewing capacity, I suppose, for Sydney, won't it?
I think so. I mean, Tyler Robertson is playing, so again, you get to watch one of their... their signings for NBL 25, but it's also good. It's a networking opportunity as well. That's one thing we probably missed off the top of, whether it's coaches or there's GMs, and it's like, okay, well, we don't need anyone this year per se, but maybe if I start talking to a certain NBA team now, and there's a fringe guy or even a player like, hey, you're already signed in a EuroLeague team, but we're interested in seeing what happens with your future. Let's keep in contact. Here's my information. Chris Pongrass is a genius, the best in the business for stuff like that. And Scott Roth, I'm envisioning Scott Roth where every other coach is trying to put their pieces together. That man is sitting in Hobart with his legs up with a nice cigar, just being like, enjoy that. My roster's done. We have a championship squad ready to go again.
So let's start with the Adelaide 36ers in that case. When we spoke about who we're going to talk about in what order, Pete, we unanimously agreed that Adelaide had to be at the top of the list here because they have got some shopping to do. Here's their depth chart. As it stands right now, Matt Weston, the general manager, and Scott Ninnis, the coach, will be in Las Vegas. I'm sure that you'll catch up with both of them. potentially three import spots to fill, and I think badly needing some help at the point guard position firstly.
The point guard's obviously one, right, because the reports came out that they offered Jalen Adams or had the conversation with Jalen Adams about putting a deal on the table. That didn't eventuate. The reigning MVP went back to the Sydney Kings, but they need an impact guy in that point guard position. Derek Wollen Jr. was another name that was floated around there. You expect, one, they're going shopping, but they've got a wallet to spend as well. So they're going to go after some high-caliber talent in that import spot in the point guard position. And that's what Summer League's for. And the fact that both Scott Ninnis and Matt Weston are there, it allows them not just to have a conversation after a game, but you take someone to dinner, you learn about who they are as a character. They want high characters as well. But probably more importantly than the point guard spot, the power forward's the one for me. They need an import four who can swing down to the five at times because of the way the rest of the roster's set up. You mentioned their depth chart. Right now, as it stands, their backup five is Ben Christie, a college kid coming out who we haven't seen at the NBL level yet. Alex Starling would have to play an undersized five. So they need an import four who is big enough or capable enough to play solo minutes at the five. Then you could potentially get away with maybe playing Lat May and some backup 4 minutes. But they are two massive holes to fill because you look at the rest of the rosters, it seems that both them and New Zealand are the ones that need to make a big swing here in Vegas.
It feels like a pretty important couple of weeks here for Adelaide, I reckon.
It does. And again, you can sense the frustration right online from the fans saying, where are all these names? And it's not like they haven't been going after them or at least talking about them. The names have been on the whiteboard. We've seen the reports come out. Olgan's been talking about the reports. I do love that they've been particularly patient, though, because two sides of that coin is, okay, we're missing out on players. There's a name we have. Let's just throw everything at them, and then it doesn't work out. It seems now they're realizing, okay, well, these have become very, very important pieces. We're going to be extremely diligent with who we go after, and we don't want just the best players. We want the best characters as well, and we want whoever's coming in to obviously help facilitate this roster because they've got two of the best locals in DJ Vasiljevic and Isaac Humphries already there.
So it feels like a lot of what you've just said about Adelaide, Pete, probably extends to the New Zealand Breakers as well. We'll take a look at them next. The new coach is going to be in town. Matt Walsh, their owner, will be in town. They've got a proven record in the last 3 years of landing their imports, so that's got to be to their advantage, but different coach this time around. How do you see it?
Yeah, it is. I'm excited to catch up with him for the first time and just watching some of his interviews. I think he's got an unbelievable basketball mind. And for all those basketball purists out there who watched the international game, he was a baller. And it wasn't that long ago he was a baller. It was almost 3 days ago he was putting the ball in the hoop for Finland. I think they're in a nice position, though, because you look at the depth chart, there are so many gaps there where they're going in with, okay, where do we want to put our preference first? Are we going after a high-impact shooting guard? Or are we okay to start Mojave King, which I have heard is what they're leaning towards or were leaning towards before the departure of Moti Mayo? So maybe their thing is, okay, let's watch a couple of games. Who's the most impactful in the shooting guard, small forward, and center? Okay, we have a dominant piece in one of those. Let's prioritize that number one, and then we'll go number two, and then we'll go number three. So they've got a bunch of different pieces to work with. And again, when they've got one of the top three MVP candidates in Parker Jackson Cartwright, I think they're in a good position. And I do like this, having these many gaps to fill, to be honest, because when you've got a new coach coming in, if you give him a whole new team, he's got to figure that out. Now he's got a little bit of a say as to how this team is made up.
For Cairns Taipans fans, when we were in the studio last week recording the Marketplace with Derek Rucker, it's fair to say that there was some feedback from Taipans fans who wanted to get an update on where their roster's at and how things are going. So here you are, well up the batting order today. Mark Beecroft, the CEO, will be in Las Vegas. One import slot left, Pete, should they choose to go down that path, which they probably will. What does that position need to look like?
Well, from what I've been hearing and what I've been told in a couple of little conversations I've had is they've got their man. They have their man locked in with who they were been chasing for a while. They just had to wait to see a lot with what was going to happen with Taron Armstrong. We know the potential of him potentially getting a two-way, but if it looks more like Taron Armstrong is going to be back for NBL 25 leading the charge, then the piece that Adam Ford has always wanted, it's a 3-and-D type player. I don't have a name for you, but it's a 3-and-D type player, small forward. You know, those gritty defenders. Tajir McCall, when he came out, one of those guys who's just going to do all the dirty work as well, but he has to be able to shoot the three because that's what you have to do to help Taron Armstrong and open up the lanes. And I believe he's going to be playing at Summer League. That's why Mark Breakoff's going to be heading over there. And see if they get that deal locked away because they've had their eyes on him for a while. And then the last piece is just a local veteran piece that I think they're just finalizing some names through. And I think it looks like that'll probably be a gut.
How do you think that roster's shaping up?
I think it's shaping up pretty well, to be honest. And again, a lot of people are going to look in, and it's hard, right? Because we're in the off season. And what do you do when you're looking at rosters where you go, well, that's not the Sydney Kings. There's no way they're going to be able to do that against the Sydney Kings. But you got to think about the type of players that Adam Ford recruits and the success that they can have. He gets guys who either need a second chance or they need a new change of scenery, and he helps them flourish and find a different level than they've ever seen before. I think we're going to see an unbelievably strong Taron Armstrong this year. The fact that he signed Edwards and Groves early as imports, he understood what he needed going forward. I think Sam Wardenberg is going to have a massive season because he's back in his traditional spot. Galloway, I said, I think he's going to be in the most improved player conversation. But this team, as it stands, and for what I'm hearing about the last couple of spots, it is just an Adam Ford bread and butter team, and I'm expecting them to be fun to watch.
Southeast Melbourne Phoenix have got a lot of their roster locked in. We spoke about that last episode of the Marketplace, that the out clauses have expired now for Derek Walton Jr. and Jordan Hunter. So that starting five is starting to take real shape, and it really fleshed itself out earlier in the week when Joe Weiskamp was signed as their latest import as well. He's going to play the three. We're seeing some highlights of him right now. Do you like the fit?
I do. I think they need some those knockdown shooters, right? Because Derek Walton Jr., he's a playmaker. Nathan Sobey's a playmaker. How do you give them more space on the floor? You put knockdown shooters out there and who'll respect it. Even if they're going through shooting slumps, the defense is going to have to take one more step closer to them, which opens up the lane for Sobey and Walton Jr. to do their thing. On paper, again, they've had an unbelievably good offseason. We've seen them put talented teams together before, and a lot of things have been out of their control. And I think they can get that sense of security now with knowing that Jordy Hunter's going to be there and Walton Jr. is going to be there. Their bookends to their starting five. But I do know that Simon Mitchell and Mike Kelly will be over in Vegas as well. And presumably, you look at the backup five spot. A lot of people are thinking it could be like a Marcus Lee type. But again, they've just one of those teams that can go over there and be patient and say, we've got our core. We've got exactly what we need to think we can contend with. What's one extra piece? What's our cherry on top that can really lift us over the edge in NBL 25? And if they find that, great. But if they don't, then they're just going there, as you said, kind of like Chris Pongrass in Sydney. You network for a little bit, but you see some future prospects and have a chat there.
Do you think would you be looking at a pure five man, or would you be looking at a swing 4-5? If it was you and you were shopping, what would you be looking for?
I think a swing 4-5 is always doable because, again, a lot of teams now are trying to think the last couple of pieces. If everyone's saying Sydney are the favourites, and they do with the way they've recruited and the roster they have, they do look like they're going to be contending for the title. So what kind of roster are we going to see, are we going to see from the Kings? We might see Xavier Cooks at the 5. Well, if that's the case, then you can play an import backup and slide down to the 5, or you can play Mitch Krieger the 5 to match up against Xavier Cooks. So I would probably find that swingman between a power forward and a center who can play both. Vodanovic can slide down there as well. But again, they're in a position where if something falls in their lap, great. But if not, they're in a good position anyway.
Staying in Melbourne, United will be there. Dean Vickham and their coach, Nick Trulson, the CEO, will be at Summer League. I'm sure you'll catch up with both of those along the way. You can see it at nbl.com.au. Is there a world where Luke Travers and Jack White both play for Melbourne next season?
There's always been that world. Well, it's funny because we talked about in the Marketplace Live or shortly after when they announced the Jack White that it looked more likely than not that both wouldn't be there. I think the percentage grew a little bit in the last month or so that they could both be there. There is a chance. I don't think it'll happen. I really do think that Luke Travers will get a well-deserved opportunity this year in some sort of two-way deal. But don't write it off. As I said, they are both on that roster. You see them on the depth chart for a reason. And again, Jack White's another one. He did have some NBA workouts a month ago before entering Boomers camp. And we know that he's well respected around the NBA voices as well. But they're going over there hunting for that impact center. They need that impact center. They lose Joe Lualachul, who can come in. They want someone to put some points on the basket. And again, it's kind of like, okay, we know what Shea and Delly do. We know CG, I know he's getting older, but he's not slowing down anytime soon. You've got those three locked away, whether it's Wyatt, Travers, or both, but what impact center can they find? And that's probably one of the harder things to find at Summer League. I do know Tyler Cook is suiting up, I believe, for the Boston Celtics, but I'm not sure where that conversation will go down, but I'll throw it out there in case it does eventuate so we can clip this up.
I like that. You watch people get excited by Tyler Cook returning to the NBL because he was phenomenal in the short bit of time that we saw him last season. Brisbane Bullets, Pete, looking at their depth chart now, it's full pretty much. They've got their three imports. They're ready to rock and roll. But the Shannon Scott situation, we flagged on day one of free agency that looked as though there would be a way that they would separate and go in different directions. As it stands right now, with Summer League just a couple of days away, there's been no movement on that situation. So what's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, the latest I've heard was, again, a few weeks ago, and what Olga was reporting, and I spoke to Stu Lash on the NBL Now probably a month or so ago, and they said they were working through it all, and he's a true professional and understanding of what Brisbane need going forward. I'm still under the assumption, and what I believe is that they're still working on Shannon Scott moving on, and they want to bring in an impact point guard, which would make a lot of sense with the rest of their roster, and not so much the risks, but what they're relying on in NBL 25 to happen. That is a healthy Casey Prather playing at a high level, which we all want to see. And if we do get that from the Brisbane Bullets, I think they're going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. Josh Bannon going to another level. What's Cook going to look like in the NBL? All of those reasons as well. So there's plenty of things for that to work on. But again, right now, the key is what happens with Shannon Scott. How long is that going to take? Is it going to be sooner rather than later? Even if that's still ongoing and they still understand there's probably one finishing point one way or another, being in Summer League, still figuring out what other pieces could look for. And maybe that's part of it as well, right? You've got Justin Schuller over there, Stu Lash. One, to obviously support Josh Bannon, who's going to be playing in the Summer League. But also, okay, is there anybody else out here? Because that's the first thing, right? Okay. We don't think it's going to be Shannon Scott for us going forward. How do we work through that? But it's all well and good to have done that on day one 3 months ago. But if there's no one else they could have brought in, then they're in a worse position. So I think a lot of us rate Shannon Scott. I think he's a terrific player. Is he what they need in NBL 25? That's up for decision.
For the Illawarra Hawks, they'll be doing a little bit of shopping. Matt Campbell, their general manager, and Justin Tatum will continue his world tour that's going on at the moment, post-NBA championships. My understanding is there's a little holiday coming up for the Tatum family after Summer League as well in Europe. But again, this is something we spoke about a lot in the last episode with Derek, Pete, that the Gary Clark spot, it doesn't look like he's coming back at this stage. And is that their sole priority while they're there?
Well, it's going to have to be. And again, it's probably more of a, you talk about traveling overseas. One, they're going to support AJ Johnson, see him playing in Vegas. He was working out for him last year, got to catch up with everybody over there. But two, it's probably very similar in what we just mentioned before. It's who else is out there, right? So it's, okay, we have been a bit far apart in terms of contract-wise, money-wise with Gary Clark for some time. What other pieces out there we could impact? If they find someone in a few early days of Summer League being like, hey, that guy's going to be a little cheaper than Gary Clark and probably just as good, let's try and get that done. Well, that changes things. That takes a lot of pressure off. Whereas the other side of it is, if there's no one that kind of fits their billing in that power forward spot, what they had last year under Justin Tatum, well, then maybe it comes to the decision, look, we just have to find the money. We just have to get Gary Clark done. No ifs, ands, or buts. So again, that's why Vegas and Summer League is so important, because one way or another, you know which direction you must head going forward.
And lastly, the Perth Wildcats. John Riley will be there. Danny Mills, their general manager of basketball operations, will also be at Summer League. 3-4 type, is that what they're looking for, that last spot on their roster?
Yeah, I think so. It's probably more of a straight four that can play the three. A straight three can play the four. I do expect Doolittle to slot down into the four a little bit more. I think they can find success for him in that powerful position after his first year in the NBL. But I think one thing they're going to look for is those consistent buckets, right? Because Ty Webster, he's the head of the snake. He likes to control everything. We know what he brings for them. Bryce Cotton is who Bryce Cotton is, one of the greatest we've ever seen. Keanu Pinder, I think, is going to have another breakout season once those two continue to grow together as a duo. But then who's that third consistent scorer? Who's that third one to put up 15-plus points per game? Is it Doolittle? No, I think he's more of that defensive trust guy, but can definitely have those nights. I think they're looking for that impact wingman, and that's what they could probably find in Vegas.
And as we mentioned, Sydney are attending purely just to have a look at the network, and Tasmania have got their roster locked away, so they will not be at Summer League. So there's a look at the teams, what they're shopping for and what their requirements are. I think we're all very jealous of you, Pete. You get to go over there for the next 10 days and experience it all. We'll get to see it all at nbl.com.au and, of course, the NBL socials. But it is one of the great events on the world basketball calendar.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The 44 degrees per day, sometimes reaching 47, I'm not looking forward to. But just besides the bustle, just to be around all the NBL alumni and Australian flavour that's now grown in Summer League, it's something really special. And I ran into Joe Ingles last year. You just run into all these people that have a connection, and also wearing an NBL polo, people point out saying that everyone knows about the NBL. Yeah. The eyes are locked on the NBL now. We're going to see Alex Saar going around for the Wizards as well. So it's a fun time for not just Australian hoops, but especially the NBL.
Enjoy it. Can't wait to talk to you once you get there.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for being with us on The Marketplace. As I mentioned, nbl.com.au is where you need to head for all of your Summer League news, all of the video, all of the interviews. It'll all be there. We'll catch you next time on The Marketplace.